listening to the Multifamily Podcast, brought to you by Ron Ruiz and Martin Canciola, co-founders of Apartment SEO, a premier Google agency, where we discuss current multifamily and real estate trends, apartment marketing strategies, and speak with some of the most influential thought leaders shaping the multifamily industry today.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Multifamily Podcast with Ron and Martin. Now, today is going to be a really fun and insightful episode with a major mover and shaker in the multifamily arena, having a meteoric rise from a humble community manager to executive VP of operations in San Antonio, Texas for RPM Living. We're going to deep dive into how he got started in the multifamily industry, being a brand evangelist, finding and being a mentor, work-life balance, and how to be a change agent for your company. It is my great pleasure to introduce the most interesting man in property management, Tony Sousa, VP of RPM Living for San Antonio. Welcome to the Multifamily Podcast.
Hey guys, good to be here. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love it. The most interesting man in property management. I remember that video. So Tony, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I remember the video because we've known each other and I've followed you for over a decade. And I've seen much of what Martin mentioned from your humble beginnings. Really excited for the audience today to really dive in and hear a little bit more from the man that we don't know. So here we go.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we actually have another special guest too, by the way, for ladies and gentlemen who are listening. I realize that we're not doing this via video, so they don't see that we're looking at Paris right here. But on the Apartment SEO side, she helped make this podcast happen. So excited. Thank you, Paris. She is one of our newer national sales managers, Paris Granger, for those that don't know. And we have asked her to join us to help us with the discovery round of this episode. So
the welcome. First of its kind.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I feel so honored to be here on this podcast and contribute with three of my favorite guys in the industry. So let's do this.
All right, let's have some fun. So Tony, can you give our audience a quick high-level overview of your career into multifamily from community manager all the way up to VP of RPM Living? And then if you can highlight any adversities that you had to overcome along the way.
Yeah, well, I'll take you way back. I started as a lease consultant and working on a book from LC to VP. So I've been on the leasing floor and started there. And I just, wanted to figure out what this business was about, what I was good at. At the end of the day, I was just trying to make a little commission and save for my upcoming wedding. And, here we are. So as Ron mentioned, it's been, 15 plus. I won't overly date myself or him, but we've been in the industry for some time. And yes, getting the opportunity, I think, to start on the leasing floor and working my way up and through, obviously, to the community manager role that you just mentioned. In and through many other roles as well, from regional manager to regional marketing and training and social media manager, obviously now in a vice president role here at RPM. You mentioned a few points of adversity. Probably too many come to mind to even list. We are in this business, the property management business, that I think if we didn't have adversity or issues or problems, or the property wasn't falling down or appliances weren't breaking, we wouldn't have jobs. And so I learned, how to problem resolve all along the way. And ultimately, I think what I learned most along the way, especially on site, was how to take care of customers and take care of residents and really to be empathetic and understanding and really put myself in their shoes if my appliance was broken or my HVAC was not working and it was, 100 degrees, 90 degrees inside my apartment. So I think I did a good job of that as a young on-site associate, and I've tried not to ever lose sight of that or that experience or that empathy, even in a corporate role or executive role that I sit in as well. So I think that for some successful leaders, many of which that I learned from to this day, I think they've done a great job sort of continuing to cultivate that empathy for their resident and for their customer. At the end of the day, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I too started in the leasing side, temporary leasing agent to be exact. And I remember throughout my career on site, I used to say we managed people's lives more than we managed apartments. And so if you can understand that conceptually, you'll know that you are ultimately responsible for their life.
Yeah, I mean, we know way too much about our residents. We play a part, leasing consultant, office manager, and therapist, as you therapist. Know. So,
yeah, no doubt. So I remember, again, when I started following you, you were at Sequoia and probably before that. But how did the most interesting man in property management come to life? I'd love to hear the story from you directly. And I'd love for our audience to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we've ever talked about this probably. No. So that was shot in 08, 09. That still sort of lives on YouTube today. It probably is like the video that I'm most known for. I've done a lot of different videos and different shoots, but that's really one that I think gave me legs, as they say, in this industry. And to this day, obviously, still get sort of coined this most interesting. Now, like Gen Z and millennials, like most of them don't even know like the Dos Equis commercial that it's referenced from. So it really does date me when I mention that to anyone, you know, younger than, I don't know, 30. They're like, what's most interesting about you? But anyway, how this idea came to be is it really came after a corporate dinner. We were having a dinner amongst colleagues, Lisa Trapp, who I think you know, who's the COO now at CWS, was the marketing director. Yeah, she's still a good friend of mine and mentor. And, you know, we were talking about a lot of my life experience. As you know, Ron, I lived in Southern California. I was an actor. I was a journalist. I was a lot of different things, you know, before coming into this industry. And she just, you know, sort of would always chuckle and say, you know, you just had the most interesting life before you came here. It's just so, you know, interesting, intriguing, whatever the case is. And then I just remember sort of that look in her eye, like, I have an idea. And, you know, and from that dinner, we started to put the pieces together on the back of a napkin. And you know how those ideas sort of go. And then, you know, you get money's allocated for a production crew and we shoot it in Southern California and we have a lot of fun. And production quality for 2009 was, you know, I look back on it today and I think that's pretty well done, you know, for the most part. Good VO, good intro. Yeah. I looked much younger, as I see that video on occasion, even to this day, better hair, even, you know, thicker, but, and that was not a real beard. Some asked like, you know, is that a real beard? No, I cannot grow a real beard like that, but that's how it came to be. And it's given me legs through this industry, kind of, a talking, touch point, if you will. And it's been fun, now that I'm a little older, you know, do I get a little sort of, blushed when someone calls me the most interesting man? Yeah, you know, because that's, you know, it's kind of weird, but I think I see it as a compliment.
You're like, there's so many more layers of me since then, guys.
Right. Let me tell you how deep I am.
Now, my favorite part of the video was when you were dressed as a lumberjack, or you look like a lumberjack, but you're mining for gold and getting the gold coins. So if you haven't checked it out, just go on YouTube and you can always put the most interesting man in property management. And
still literally
position one still to the till today.
That's why we wanted to talk about it, because we did it out.
It has that organic SEO, right, guys?
Exactly. So leave some fun comments and keep it going, right? Keep
that momentum. We celebrate that daily around here, right?
Okay, so Tony, so being a brand ambassador for RPM Living, how do you stay present and continue inspiring your team on your company's vision and overall growth?
Well, I think it stems from my proactiveness to stay present in life. And what I mean by that is stay present with the people around me, both personally and professionally. And obviously, my family is the personal side, my friends and family. I try to stay present in their lives and be engaged and you know, listen and be involved, both as a husband, as a dad, as a friend, as a brother, as a son. And for me, that's just how I live my life. And so, you know, in living my life that way, I'm also, without a lot of effort, able to live my life as a professional that way, as a leader, that I am interested in what's going on in my team's life. There's someone on my team today, you know, going through, a medical procedure. And yeah, I sent them a text. How are you feeling? How are you doing? You know, because that stuff matters. And I have to remember, if I'm that person going through a medical procedure or something's going on with me, I would appreciate the occasional check-in. And so I try to do a good job of that with my friends, that are both near and far. And frankly, I think a lot of friends, even family sometimes, do a really poor job of that. And I think we all get kind of inspired when we see those posts about, you know, call your mom, call a family member and tell them you love them. I think that reminds the majority of us that really get caught up and swept up in, sort of that busy life that we think is most valuable. I think as you get older, you realize just being busy for busy's sake is not productive and it's not fruitful. And so I've tried to slow down. You know, I'm from California, the West Coast, big cities, Los Angeles and San Francisco. But you know, what I learned about life a bit coming to Texas, I had a West Coast life, a pace, and everything was fast. And I remember moving to Texas, specifically San Antonio, where I reside today, and thinking, why is this grocery line taking forever? And why is the cashier talking to everyone when this line is five deep? Like, what are we doing? And every line is five deep. I can't even jump to another line. And I remember in that moment thinking, hey, kid, you know, you're really a city slicker here. You need to slow down a little bit. And so I've been here for, you know, 8-9 years now, so almost a decade. And I think the slower pace of the South in some ways, and even specifically, I think San Antonio, because I think Austin and Houston, Dallas, you know, still have a, you know, pretty quick pace. But, you know, San Antonio is a little different. But it's been good for me. It's been a good yin to the yang that I brought to the state, I think, and being a city slicker and a fast paced, you know, urban kid. So it's been a good, you know, it's been a good balance for me. And of course, as many know, you know, I have three children as well. That will slow you down and definitely refocus you on the things that matter. So
that's brilliant. So this is going to be great for the young professionals listening in. I know we have a whole new generation coming into multifamily, right? We're kind of like the older guys. Just kidding. But what are the key challenges that young professionals face today? And what would you say your suggestion is on how they can overcome them?
I really think the biggest challenge that I hear from many of them, and a lot of them, I feel lucky. Some may sort of say this is lucky or unlucky. A lot of them are in my DMs, right? A lot of them are saying, how do I get from where I'm at to where like you're at, Tony? And my first piece of advice to a lot of them really is, and you know, Paris and I have had conversations about different things as well. I mean, the best piece of advice I can really give them, that's probably the hardest thing for them to hear, is to be patient. And, you know, Ron, you know, I know I see you shaking your head and Paris and Martin, of course. I mean, it's easy to say that now when your career is maybe more established and you've done some things and you have some confidence and you got some gray hairs, right? And you know, it's a lot harder to sort of embrace that message of patience when you're 25, 26, you know, 29, 30, 31, because you feel like you don't have enough time. And, you know, I think the older you get, I'd like to think the wiser you get, but what you get is just a more of a respect of life and the process and how things need to unfold in the way that they need to, for you to get the experience you need to have when you're in the positions you are. And so, I think oftentimes you see people in positions maybe that, shouldn't be there, because they just maybe got accelerated a little too fast, right? And some of these important positions, you know, whether it be VP or C-suite or owning your own company, as you know, Ron, you know, you daily have to tap into a wealth of experience that, you know, sometimes you just can't learn on the job. You have to tap into decades of experience. And really what experience really is, you and I both know, is mistakes, right? Of doing things the wrong way and then hopefully learning from them and then correcting your steps and proceeding forward. So the best advice I can give anybody sort of, you know, emerging in their career is to be patient, be ambitious. I think patience and ambition do not have to be in contrast or juxtaposed to each other. I think they actually can live, you know, in harmony together. It's just, you know, you have to have that mindset of patience, but at the same time, in every opportunity where you can push or challenge status quo, you know, be as ambitious as you can there. And as you know, I think that's much of what I try to do in this industry myself, is to try to push the envelope in a respectful and, you know, productive and constructive way.
I think that's like brilliant advice, because I see it also like, you know, having a smaller company and, you know, seeing people wanting to grow their own careers. And I love it. I love any kind of, I love anybody inspired. Life inspired is one of my favorite exclamation points, right? And sometimes the inspiration can be like, I'm beyond this. Next, what do we do next, right? I think our generationally, we're there again, or more and more, because of everything's on demand. Like our entire life could be on demand, right? You could ask Siri, you could ask Alexa, you could ask, you know, anything. But I think that there's something to say about really giving its due process, respecting your time as well as, you know, what you're putting into something. And I believe that if you truly focus on living your life by design, like design it well, like make sure you're in the right place and be patient and let the process follow and raise your hand, you know, be front row center and active in your, in whatever the goals are. And I think that'll buy you time. So you're not so impatient. You're actively participating in the growth.
Yeah. I just put together a meme or a post, but it was, you know, create your own luck, right? I mean, to the point that you're making is put yourself in a position to be lucky. If it goes your way, if it doesn't, it doesn't, but you still positioned yourself well. And, you know, but that takes a little time to even know where to put yourself in that position. You know, I think a lot of people are scrambling to get in the right position. You don't even know where you're supposed to be. And you're really kind of forcing the issue.
Yeah. So you spoke about the DMs, and I love that. And because everybody wants to know what's in everybody else's DMs, right? Obviously, you're an active mentor in our industry. But who was your biggest mentor and who made the biggest impact that is and on your life and maybe even one life lesson that still resonates with you today?
Yeah, I've had quite a few. So really, I think my perspective as a mentor to this industry really stems from the fact that I feel indebted to pay it forward from people that have paid it forward to me. You know, a handful that come to mind, you know, there's been a lot. And really at every organization, I feel as though I've had somebody who's been willing to kind of bring me in, take me under their wing and, you know, teach me the things that they want me to know. And frankly, I've come to realize, I think they taught me the things that they made the most mistakes on. And I didn't always realize that at the time. I just thought, you know, unsolicited advice. Awesome. Thank you. But in time, I grew to really appreciate that. You know, Lisa Trapp, you know, was mentioned earlier. She was one early in my career at Sequoia, just one that really thought outside the box and really challenged status quo and was really an innovative thinker and really, you know, continued to keep me kind of in my place and keep me humble at the time. Now she's the best and one of my biggest fans. And she's somebody in, you know, my text box, not even DMs. Text is kind of the next level, in my opinion, as friends and associates. And so, yeah, she's somebody I still correspond with very much. Someone in Texas that took a chance on me, Miss Cindy Ash, you know, the president of Embry Management. She's now retired, doing well. But, you know, she took a chance on a kid from California and put me in a position to be successful. I'd like to think I took that baton and just, you know, full sprinted. But you can't sprint until you have that opportunity. And so I appreciate, you know, every opportunity I get, whether it be then or today, and the opportunity to be a part of RPM Living. I'm grateful for so many that have put me in this position today, and I'm excited for what the future holds here at RPM.
So one more question from Ron Ruiz. what would you suggest? I'm taking over here, guys. Sorry. You guys will get a chance to talk later, okay?
Friends are chatting, right?
Yeah, that's it. I know. We could have just had like a one-on-one exchange. With that, what would you suggest those professionals who want to find the right mentor, like for them? How do they do that? Like, how do they ask?
Well, I think
vulnerable, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think there's a couple different ways you can go about it. But what I would say to them first is the question to any and all associates. I think you need to have peers that you're sort of able to link in with and you know, share thoughts and collaborate and vent. But you also need to have people you're mentoring, right? I think a lot of people want a mentor, right? And I think sometimes it's almost selfish in some ways to say, I want a mentor. Can you be my mentor? And all of those things. And that's okay. But the question that I often have people, because, you know, speaking of DMs, I get randoms throughout the country often asking if I could be their mentor. So first and foremost, I'm flattered that you would like me to be your mentor based on what I think you perceive that you see. No, I can't be because there's only 24 hours in a day and I have a family. I have a busy job. I have people I am, you know, trying to mentor. I have people mentoring me. But the point that I'm trying to make is I think it's important for you to be mentoring others in sort of giving it back or paying it back, as we talked about, as a paying it forward perspective. And I think, you know, the universe will sort of honor you and give you opportunity to find a mentor. And I think you'll respect your mentor even more when you're mentoring somebody else. I think it gives you a better perspective of some of the advice you may be getting from your mentor when you're mentoring someone else as well. But I, you know, to answer your question directly, Ron, you know, be bold, be bashful, you know, feel free to directly DM somebody, I guess. But, you know, try to find somebody, you know, within your inner circle that you think and you admire. And you've vetted that relationship, that it's, you know, that it's healthy and not toxic and there's not other intentions involved. And then, you know, just try to learn as much as you can from them. And a key point that I do want to say to somebody that's looking to be mentored, please be responsive to your mentor. Please show up for the times that work for them, not you. Yeah. And please make time for them, not them have to make time for you. There's a lot of people that still sort of just want to get and not give. That's a biggie. And I've been in situations as the mentor to where, you know, no call, no show, or sorry, I'm late. Like, you know, that's pretty close to me cutting you off pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a fine, those final words were, priceless, because I think that there is that element of respect. Everybody's busy. And if you're looking for the right mentor, that person's probably like super busy. They got there somehow. So respect their time.
Right.
That's awesome.
So Tony, I know you're a family man, you're a high level executive, you're a man of faith. What words of wisdom would you give the career chasing professionals and executives in our industry who really don't have that work-life balance? You have anything for them?
Good question.
That is a good question, Martin. You make time for what's important for you. And I wish I could sugarcoat that more for someone. But if your family is most important to you, you make time for them. If your faith is most important for you, you make time for that. If your work is most important, then you make time for that. If working out is most important, you make time for that. So there's no secret sauce to balancing it all. You have to prioritize what means the most to you. And if your family falls, you know, sort of fifth, sixth, seventh, you know, rung, hey, I'll see you when I see it. But if they fall, you know, in that top one, two, or three category, which, you know, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell anyone they should, but, what I will tell you is that, you know, having a strong inner circle of support, friends and family, will help you get through the tough times of your life and sometimes and often of your job. And if you haven't poured into that, you're going to have a difficult time getting out of those tough times. So, that's what I'll say to that. It's a simple process of prioritization. And for those that are having trouble doing that, I think they need to take some quiet time, probably write down their priorities and how they want to allocate their time.
Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. I think, again, anytime, you can do it anytime, right? I think the other thing is, so if people are listening and they're, you know, bashing their head on the wall, like, yeah, I got to do that. Like, for me, it'd be more like, I got to make time to work out. But you can do it at any time. So just start, make a change. Yeah, speaking of changes, like, what does being a change agent to you mean? And how can others emulate this? I love this question, and I personally want to know as well.
Well, I think being a change agent, well, what I'll say is I think the pandemic showed who was true change agents and who had a really difficult time with change.
Amen.
And I think I realized, although pre-pandemic, I thought, you know, I'm pretty good with change and adjustment. The pandemic showed me that that's my middle name. I can adapt to a crisis situation better than anyone. And I proved to myself, more importantly than anyone else, that in the midst of that, you know, 12 to 24 month crisis situation, the most innovative, the most creative, the most adaptive associates and professionals, and I got to be careful to use the word survived. I don't mean it in a life or death situation, but I think from a business standpoint, we're able to not only survive and keep their business afloat. And, you know, Ron, you had to do that for you. And that probably served your business well, if I was to guess, during that time, because, you know, obviously online and SEO was
very important at that time.
But, you know, as a business professional, you had to not only survive, but you had to figure out how to thrive. And so being a change agent is a mindset. So those who are listening are like, yeah, I'm a change agent. Awesome. Continue to put yourself in situations to where you're challenged by change. That will really test if you are a change agent. Now, if you or you have change agent qualities, shall I say. Now, if you're somebody that doesn't like change, which I think are a lot of people in this business and really across industries, you know, change can be abrasive for a lot of people. I think the reality is, and what's important for you to know is, A, you need to be aware of your perfectionism and your want to control. Okay, those are the two biggest items I think that change agents have issues with. Is they're trying to make everything perfect and they're trying to control all the circumstances. Change doesn't allow for you to do that, especially if the change is prompted by something bigger than you or a boss or a situation. And usually change in our business is prompted by market conditions or something affecting a property or the market or an economic sort of shift. And those who are able to sort of shift, you know, kind of like water, like fluid. I think Bruce Lee has, you know, some quotes around this, you know, just be like water, right? You have to just be adaptable and move so that you could be the most effective in the new circumstance. You know, so to go back to those who are not the best change agents, you really do have to take a self-assessment of why you need everything perfect, why you can be rigid at times, or why you try to control things. And you probably have to do some personal sort of unpacking to find out why you have some of those qualities and try to improve upon them, because change is inevitable. And so you have to be a successful professional and frankly, a successful person in life, you have to learn how to become good at changing with what's happening. Because life is evolving, life is moving, life is ever changing. And, you know, I would hate to see anyone, you know, not change with it or grow or adapt or become wiser as change attempts to teach you lessons.
Yeah, change is going to be constant and always there. So, wow, that was some powerful stuff. Thank you for that, Tony. All right, so we are getting ready to go into the first ever discovery round, and it is with Paris, and she will be asking Tony some of her questions that she had prepared. So take it away.
Paris, no hard questions, young lady.
I'll try not to. Well, Tony. So, I mean, obviously, I've known you for years, personally and professionally, as a mentor. And I watch you and I see you on your socials. How do you do it all? I mean, balancing being a VP and traveling and speaking engagements, being that family man, amazing husband and father to your three kids. Can you just sum this up for me? What's your secret? What's your secret of staying on top of, you know, it all and keeping it balanced?
The three steps are, and buy my book. I think it stems from a lot of things we talked about, guys. I think for me, a couple of things, and I'll point them out, is I am willing to change, adapt, and learn. So if that means I'm not the greatest professional or my bosses want to give me some feedback, constructive feedback that I need to focus on this or get better at this, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to also, you know, shift priorities to focus on feedback, especially if it's coming from someone I admire or a mentor or, you know, a supervisor that's there to give me honest feedback. Same goes for people in my life. My wife often keeps me very accountable to all sorts of stuff, that I need you to be more locked in, put your cell phone down. I need you to, you know, do the dishes, put the kids to sleep. I need you to, you know, all that other work stuff. And, you know, you're admired out there, but, you know, listen, you're admired here, but we don't really care about what's out there. I need you to change a dirty diaper. I need you to take the garbage out. I, you know, my car's not working. I need you to look at it. You know, so, you know, and many of you guys know my wife, doesn't do social media, I think that's good for her. And it's probably good for me, that she doesn't really care about what's going on in my career other than good job, honey, keep it up. It seems like you're doing well. But that's good for me. And I think she knows me. A young Tony had an issue with vanity and arrogance and ego early in my 20s as a young actor. And I met her then. And so she didn't like that young Tony. I think she likes the man that I've become. But I've also become that because she's helped me get there. And I've strived to become more mature and have better perspective and realize it's not just about me. And that's good. So, you know, to answer your question in a very long-winded way, I have people in my life, close family and friends, that help keep me grounded, help keep my perspective. And I do a really good job of prioritizing what's most important to me and my family. And at the end of the day, I do pride myself on my ability to work 160, 200 miles an hour. I can move very quickly. I think very quickly. I could speak sometimes very quickly. I try to be as efficient and effective with what I do, either in my communication or in my work projects or my focuses. I told someone today via text, I'm still on pandemic speed. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but for me, I have to be here 8 to 6, 8 to 5 for the most part, mentally locked into what I'm doing. Now there's some flexibility. Sure, I can go pick up the kids and come back, but you know what? You know, the company pays me to be locked in during the height of business hours. But at the end of the day, the reason why I'm going 200 miles an hour, I've locked into that speed from 3 years ago, and I don't have any plans of like slowing down. Secondly, I have to work that quickly because I have a lot of responsibilities after 5 o'clock, after 6 o'clock that I can't forego. A lot of people in my type of position can sometimes have either older children or no children at all. And sometimes it's easier to work all night. I don't have that luxury, and I haven't really had that luxury for much of my career. Most of my growth in my career over the last 15 years, I have a 14-year-old. So I've had a kid the whole time. And I've had responsibilities at home that my wife and my children expected me to be present. So it's a long-winded answer, but I have a lot of people and a lot of, you know, sort of structures in place in and around me that help keep me accountable, but at the same time, help me understand my purpose. And that's what helps me keep my speed at 200 miles an hour, because I got to get home and I got to focus there. And so my goal is to wrap up every project I possibly can, you know, by end of day, or at least, you know, make great progress so that the next day I can come in and make great progress there.
I love it. Thank you for that. So you're a big fish in this pond with networking, and you live in San Antonio, Texas, yet you're traveling all the time. Which events do you prioritize and why?
Well, it's a good question, Paris. I moved to Texas, as I mentioned, 8, 9 years ago. I didn't know anyone in Texas, right? I knew everybody in California. I think, Ron, that's where we interacted, right? All my connections were more regional based. And so I get here and I have to figure out the apartment association, and now I'm overseeing Houston and I have to recruit in these markets. And so, you know, from a networking standpoint, I had to figure out how and where do I fish where the most fishes are, right? And ultimately what I quickly realized, and you guys know this better than anybody from a online SEO standpoint, they're online. The fishes are online. And so, you know, to answer your question about networking, and I'll talk about how to prioritize where you go. For me, you know, the network has, I spend a lot of time, and I have an event tonight that I sort of make appearances here locally and shake some hands and high five some folks here locally in town. But, you know, my network has now grown nationally in a way that I still get to interact with all three of you guys. And you guys are all in separate cities. What cities? I'm not sure precisely. I know Ron is a global traveler, so I don't know where he's at today. But you know, so you know, expanding your network and being willing to sort of interact, you know, with anyone and everyone across the country. The only way to really do that is LinkedIn is a great resource for that. And there's other resources, of course, other social platforms. And then, of course, you know, early first half of the year, there's conference season for our business. And so I think being strategic with what conferences you attend, participate in, there's some big ones. There's some, you know, smaller sort of niche conferences as well, depending on your business plan and what you're trying to, the relationships that you're trying to foster. I think that's important for you to determine where you should be and how long you should be there and what interactions, you know, would you categorize as successful leaving means after the conference, and say, what can you learn from that experience? So, but I think you have to be really decisive. I think you have to say no more often than you say yes sometimes. And you have to be mindful of the dollars you spend on conferences. But a great way to sort of, you know, stay connected is this online world that we're all connected in. And ultimately, it's sort of this virtual reality.
Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I know I've seen you at a lot of the national events that like AIM and NAA and TAA and all of that. So just for those listeners who maybe haven't attended those events, I know that they can definitely do some deep dive and figure out which ones are going to be a priority for them based on their regions and locations. So, you know, from the outside, Tony, it looks like you've accomplished a lot, which I know you have, but for all of us dreamers and innovators, what can we expect from Tony 2026?
Well, it's a good question, right? I don't want to give too much away about too much, but as an entrepreneur minded professional myself, and frankly, as a creative and an innovator, also someone who sort of has that analytical operation side and experience there. You know, this answer is a little contrary to, I think, a lot of people that are very sort of analytical and pragmatic. Similar to the content that I post on social, it's not as contrived as people think. And I also, surprisingly, you know, contrary to like vision boards, I don't have one. I allow the inspiration of the moment and of the day or of the time or of the quarter or of what's happening to sort of lead me to the next steps of what's forward. So when you ask sort of like, what's 3 to 5 years out, 3 to 5 years back from where I'm at now, I would have never thought that I'm making the impact that I am now in the industry, to be honest. And so when I look back and think, dude, there's no way you would have guessed that you're here. All you did was take, you know, small steps that led you here. And so what I try to do using that analogy is really kind of focus and be very present in every step that I take. And what I mean by that is sort of be aware, you know, I think the quote is sort of be where your feet are. And I think I've done a good job in my life professionally and personally to be where my feet are. And I think when you do that, you're listening, you're in the room, you're paying attention to what's happening, and you're able to sort of respond in the present moment versus always looking ahead or worrying about, you know, the past or the worrying about the future. So where I am in 3 to 5, what I hope to be doing is just the continued work that I'm doing now and making the biggest possible impact I can at my company, within my family. And I love this industry as well. So I just hope to be making sort of astronomical impacts in this industry, potentially, you know, leading, you know, my own conference or something of that. You know, I love thought leadership and moving the industry forward. So, you know, guys like Gary Vee and others, you know, VCon, you know, I'd be lying if I never said that I flirted with the idea of Sousa Khan or something of that sort, to be sort of a conduit to thought leadership in multifamily in the future. So
Sousa Khan, sign me up.
Yeah, I love me some
registration.
we got tiered sponsorship, Ron. So
yeah, I bet.
I love that so much.
So obviously, with that being said, multifamily obviously has evolved over the years, and particularly when the years that we've been around. What trends do you actually foresee for the future really disrupting our industry?
Well, I think the elephant in the room is something you and your team are probably very, very much aware of. I know Martin had a chance to briefly chat with him, you know, very, very sort of skilled in understanding the future is machine learning, artificial intelligence. And I think that is going to disrupt all industries, including ours. And so it's exciting. And it also plays a big opportunity for a lot of people in our industry to really familiarize themselves with the technologies. I think the great things of the technologies, but also I think the things that, need to be sort of watched and monitored in some ways. We're not a watchdog agency. So, you know, what roles do we have there? But I think, but I think it's a technology that's going to change all industries. And I do think it's going to automate a lot of things that are currently being done in our industry. And that ranges from probably marketing to accounting to customer service to, you know, a lot of sort of just basic services that are provided. Is that a good change? Well, I don't know. It depends on who you ask, right? As senior leaders of an organization, does it cut overhead? Sure. People are the most important and also the most expensive, as you know, Ron, running a company. And so, you know, sort of there's a balance there. So I think it's exciting, but I think, you know, I think it's also a time that we need to be, I think we just need to be prudent and vigilant in this process to find this nice balance of, you know, machine learning and artificial intelligence and delivering on the technological side, but also at the same time, like what role do humans play today and for the future, and to continue to find ways to provide, you know, of course, people and humans and professionals jobs and job opportunities. So, but yeah, I mean, it, you know, am I teaching this to my Gen Alpha kids that this technology is going to be here and you're going to have to figure out how to live alongside and in harmony with it? Yes, be aware of it, but also learn how to leverage it as well.
Yeah, that's some good stuff right there. I mean, you have to experience it. You have to at least try it out. I mean, just utilizing Bing and trying their new conversational search, you know, they're growing in the amount of users they're already getting, right? Google has always been king, but now they've actually grown so much since launching with ChatGPT. So the game is shifting a little bit. So I feel like Bing is more of an underdog now. And they used to talk a lot of smack on it, but now I think multifamily needs to kind of wake up to being almost building that multi-platform SEO strategy and making sure it's not just about Google. It's about Bing. It's about TikTok. It's about Reels and YouTube Shorts as well. So just being able to, you know, experience it and be familiar with how these technologies work, what's the good, what's the bad, and, you know, really just try it out. That's the only way you're going to learn is by actually doing it. So keeping on the digital front, Tony, you're super active on LinkedIn. And I love all the posts, by the way. And I try to, you know, I engage and I get so much from them. It's obviously a powerful tool for apartment marketers to actually utilize. So how can multifamily professionals make an impact on their network and grow professionally within this particular platform, which was really built for expanding their own network, whether they want to grow or reinvent their whole careers?
I think it all starts, Martin, it's a good question. I think it all starts, and it's a question I get asked a lot because it's a space that in some ways I feel like I've hacked. But you know, it's going to be, you know, continual sort of platform that's changing in algorithm and formula in the future, of course. And so we're all trying to adapt to that. So any piece of advice I would say to any marketers or anyone trying to grow their company's exposure on that particular platform is to give the most value with the absence of expectation as much as you possibly can. Someone made this analogy recently. There's a lot of, I think, leaders within companies that get afraid of providing an online platform like LinkedIn any information of your company or trade secrets. And I actually have sort of the opposite view of it. I think the more information you can give there about who your company is and what you guys are about and what you believe, isn't that someone's going to steal this idea. Because the analogy that I heard recently was, I can give you 1,000 Lego pieces, but I'm not going to give you the instruction book on how to put it together. Right? Like, that's where you're going to pay me, right? That's where you're going to join my company to help you put it all together. You're not going to know what to do with 1,000 Lego pieces. You can put something together, it'll be Mickey Mouse, because you don't have experience in that space. You don't know what you're doing. You don't have, you know, the infrastructure in place. So I think when a lot of leaders are nervous about going there and sort of being vulnerable with information and abundant in information, you're not giving the instruction, you know, template away. You're just giving sort of the results away. And as we all know, any successful company, you know, Ron, you've built multiple successful companies. It's in the execution. It's not in anything else. It's in the execution of building the infrastructure of those companies and building that Legos, you know, to something really, really successful. You can give anyone the pieces. I mean, you could probably do that today, Ron, right? Here's all the pieces I started with. Go build it like I did. Good luck. Right?
That's how we feel with SEO too.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So that's what people are paying for. They're paying for expertise. They're paying for experience, all of those sorts of things. That's what they pay you guys for to do a brilliant job of. That's what they pay RPM to manage their assets for, right? If they could do it on their own, they would have already. So that's something I would say to those sort of investigating like LinkedIn and social platforms, you know, just give and give value and give insights and give, you know, information that's behind the curtain. And don't be afraid that someone's going to steal it, because the reality is they may take some bits and pieces of it, but they're not going to know how to execute on it like you, because they're not you and they don't have the same experiences and infrastructure that you do. So that's the best advice I can give, is just continue to give and you'll see in time, you know, a reciprocity of return, and, you know, your company in time will be blessed by that.
And I think the best thing is that, yeah, you're very transparent on it too, and I too enjoy them as well.
Yeah.
So with that being said, going on the social side, what platform do you think is most underutilized in apartment marketing in particular?
I don't think we're playing on YouTube Shorts really at all. I think, you know, the TikTok revolution. What were you going to say, Ron?
Preach, brother, preach. That's what I say all the time.
Yeah, I'm raising Gen Alpha, as I mentioned, and, you know, they live on YouTube Shorts. So, you know, as they become teenagers and the renting population in their 20s, You know, that's a probably, I don't know if it'll still be YouTube Shorts at that time, but it'll be probably a short-term media consumption that they're going to be sort of digesting somehow, some way. What it is in 15 years, I'm not sure. It's a long ways to go with how quickly technology is moving. But, you know, today, you know, is that something we're taking a look at, especially in my new role, you know, creating content and distributing that content and repurposing that content in all sorts of fun ways to do what you guys know how to do best is create attention and SEO, right? So, so that's also, I think, what a lot of marketers and marketing companies, if they're not paying attention to that, that's where they need to be in the future.
Yeah, Tony, I would love to collaborate on some YouTube Shorts with you for any of your communities. So feel free to just hit me up and let's do some tests. And I think it will be so important in the future because YouTube Shorts right now is so underutilized in the multifamily arena, where if you start building out these organic placement videos now, you're going to get that placement. They're going to rank in Google. They're already starting to be indexed by Google. So just having that placement for those really high volume keywords, Google's, especially with discovery and the SGE with Google's new search engine coming out, those YouTube Shorts are going to have some prominent placement, and they're obviously a Google asset. So of course they're going to be placed.
And I think a lot of marketing companies, especially multifamily, and Ron, you could probably even speak to this. You know, I think they're nervous to get in what's hot today because they're like, well, what's going to be hot tomorrow? I don't know. You'll figure that out. You'll cross that bridge when you get to it. But you know, jump on what's happening now or what's the trend for the future. And maybe, as you said, Martin, you know, most companies aren't even there yet. So you're already ahead of the game. Don't be worrying about what's after this. You'll figure out a lot of lessons through you know, your spend and your strategy here on different platforms today that will help propel you into the future of what's next. And that, at the end of the day, is an innovator mindset, right? Not to be afraid of the future. And, you know, obviously we talked quite a bit about that today.
Well, I can't believe we're getting close to the end of the podcast, but we have one last question for you, Tony. From your perspective, what's the biggest challenge facing the multifamily industry today, and how can we, as an industry, come together to solve it?
Well, I think the cliche answer, and one that is often probably answered by with this, is, you know, how to integrate technologies better. And but I think actually what the biggest obstacle and the biggest challenge that we face in our business today is the inability or the lack of ongoing talent that we've recruited throughout the country and throughout different industries. Unfortunately, property management is not widely studied in college, or you don't even know about it in high school. All of our stories, if I was to guess, all four of us were, I just sort of fell into it, or I had a family member that was a part of it and they told me about it. So I think there's a huge opportunity, and I think this can be done through short form media, maybe long form, of course, you know, as you attract them through your short form media opportunities, to tell more and more of our population what a wonderful industry this is, and how you can grow a tremendous career here, both as, you know, an innovator on the supply side, start your own company like Ron did and others have, or, you know, work your way up and through on the management side. I think it's a wonderful industry that can really benefit from additional talent throughout the country in a way that can provide sort of dynamic and unique perspectives and diverse perspectives from across the country. So I think that's the biggest opportunity, and one that I, you know, sort of, you know, try to play a part in a lot of what I do, you know, on LinkedIn and other, is to try to attract eyeballs that maybe aren't in our industry to say, hey, you know, we're a part of this industry that you want to consider being a part of.
Yeah, that's great. I think that hit spot on, and definitely a great perspective to have, because that is true. Every time I hear stories of how people got in the multifamily industry, it's because it was by accident. They wanted a cheap place to live, you know, and then they stay in it forever, you know, in most cases. So very cool.
I think there's something really to be said about this industry that they stay forever. And I don't think it's just because I can't get another job in another industry. There's a warmth to this industry, and I think there's a collective support of each other. Of course, there's a percentage of haters that are always out to get you, you know, sure. But I think in large percent, this is an industry that we try to support and love on each other and love to see each other succeed. And frankly, I mean, I'm an example of that. You guys have me here because you guys, you know, are enjoying seeing some of the successes that I've had over my career. And you guys are, I know, you know, sort of clapping in the background for me and I for you guys as well. So it's amazing to see your company grow and you guys come together to be a, you know, a continually successful company as well. So
great. Well, we're getting into our closing thoughts. So I'll let Paris lead it off.
Well, thank you again, Tony. You have given us so much great insight and you've got loads of experience and you are a wealth of knowledge, which we can all hear. And I just want to say we're deeply appreciative for the time that you took today and sharing your expertise. You know, it's all about giving back. And that's truly what these podcasts do, you know, really showcase the leaders and grow professionals through this digital presence. So I just want to say thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Is Ron, it my, you're up.
There, yeah, I thought I was on mute. Well, Mr. Tony, thank you again for sharing all the greatness today. I'm so proud of you, buddy. I just want you to know that. I don't know if I say that often enough, but you are truly living your life intentionally. And I think that there's so much greatness that you shared today. It gives me, I mean, half this time you can see me, I was thumbing up and cheering, yeah, and virtually clapping for you and everything you just shared. There's so much nuggets in this podcast that I cannot wait for people to hear and put on repeat. A lot of life lessons. Thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing. It truly is no, part of why I was celebrating you is it's no surprise why you're so successful, so blessed, and you're thriving in the game of life and obviously in business. So with that, I want to say, keep doing you, brother, and continue to inspire those around you because you are definitely a change agent. So thank you.
I appreciate that, Ron. It means a lot coming from you.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Any closing thoughts, Tony? We wrap it up?
No, it's great to be here with you guys. And I'm excited to see you guys impact the industry in such a big way. And Ron, you're a staple in this industry and you have a wonderful team in Martin and Paris and others on your team as well. So I just, you know, again, I'm honored and appreciate the opportunity to be here with you guys.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tony. It was such a pleasure to spend this time with you. I look forward to seeing you at all the upcoming multifamily conferences and maybe one day we could actually collaborate on one as well. So remember, everyone, don't forget to subscribe to the Multifamily Podcast at multifamilypodcast.com and be sure to get your free marketing analysis from apartmentseo.com. Also, one quick plug for Ads Manager, that's ADZManager.com, which is Apartment SEO's latest technology, bringing the power of Google search ads to in-house apartment marketers, providing an AI-powered, easy-to-use product to easily launch new campaigns with these, help you save time and money with our latest prop tech innovation. Make sure to set up a full demo with Paris Granger of Apartment SEO, who's on this podcast today as well, and see the product in action. All right. So until next time, bye everyone. Bye y'all.
Bye guys.
Thank you for listening to the Multifamily Podcast, brought to you by co-founders of Apartment SEO, a premier Google agency, with your hosts, Ron Ruiz and Martin Kinchola. Join us again next time as we continue to bring you the latest and greatest in the multifamily industry.